was real nice. Gee whiz. I'll tell you, that's a heartwarming sound. The big chief is on the air again. That is heartwarming. Warms the old cockles. Hey, before we get started here, cockle fans, you know, speaking of this type of total trivia, and I'm not a trivia fan. I keep getting letters from people saying, we understand that you're an expert in trivia and that you're interested in trivia, and they send me some rotten little book about the questions on who played the second gangster from the left in a Humphrey Bogart film. This couldn't bore me more. And stuff, totally boring. But I am interested in the what could be called the ordinary walking around slob history of our world. That's not the same as trivia. No way. And the other day, I've got something here you're going to want to hear, because, you know, as a matter of fact, this medium, and radio is only one medium that I work in, and it's not my primary one, as a matter of fact. I probably do more work actually in writing and in actual in-person stage performing than I do radio. But radio is a medium, and it's a medium that not many people talk about. You know, they talk a great deal about television. There's a lot of writing about TV, retrospectives and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of talk about movies continually. There's books on movies. And there's a continual outpouring of stuff on the art of writing itself. But very little is ever said on radio except that damn nostalgia stuff. You know, constantly, as if radio is not a form. And I think when we begin to grow up a little bit, we'll recognize that there's a lot of... And by the way, it did not stop in 1939 or something, radio. That a lot of things have evolved throughout the years in radio. And it's interesting how most people seem to think that radio sort of kind of stopped World War II or something, and that was it. But it's not so, obviously. But the other day, one of the guys here at the station, Jimmy McAleer, one of the station executive types, he was going through a lot of stuff that they had in the records here. And he was filing stuff and throwing stuff out and all that. And he came across a fascinating thing, and I want you to hear it. You want to listen to this? You know, most people think, I'll preface it with a little editorial here, most people tend to think that radio in the past was just like Fred Allen, Jack Benny, McGee and Molly, and a couple of newscasters. Well, actually, radio was an unbelievably complex thing a few hundred decades ago. And Jimmy dug out something that's really fascinating. And he gave it to me. He says, maybe you'd be interested in this. And I said, well, you know, what is it? And he just sent it down. He says, it's probably a very interesting piece of true Americana. And it is. I have to concede it has to be. Very interesting. This is a... He sent me the incomplete program schedule for WOR for the week of April the 23rd, 1939. Now, that's a long time ago. And the programs... There were so many programs on this station at that time that they had to issue a weekly program. Look at it. A weekly program guide. This was a guide that was sent to listeners. A weekly program guide that it rivals TV Guide. I mean, really, it's fascinating. And do you want to hear some of the shows they had? This is WOR, incidentally, New York, an RKO general station. And here is some of the programs. Listen carefully to this now. This is the week beginning April the 23rd, 1939. And it says WOR programs. Now read what it says. It says station WOR, 50,000 watts, 710 kilocycles. And then in a little box under it, it says W2XJI, broadcasting WOR and mutual program on shortwave. Operates from 12 noon to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a worldwide frequency of 26,300 kilocycles. That's really shortwave, man. Now, that's interesting. I never realized that they took the regular broadcast programs in those days and broadcast them worldwide on shortwave. So this is what they were doing then. Now, they opened up on Sunday. It was April 23rd was apparently a Sunday. Highlights of the week. Sunday, 12 noon. This is the program starts Sunday. Oh, these are highlights. I'm sorry. Tuesday. Yeah, this is highlights. I'll have to get this thing back into order and in shape. Yeah, Sunday, April 23rd. Okay. The first thing they did, they opened up at 8 a.m. with a live orchestra called Silver Strains Music. And it was somebody's orchestra. It just says live orchestra. They don't even give them a name. It just says live orchestra. And at 9 a.m., they had a show called Rainbow House, juvenile program with Big Brother Bob Emery. You ever hear of that guy? I never heard of him. Big Brother Bob Emery. At 10 a.m., that was an hour show, at 10 a.m. they had news. It says news, Frank Singheiser. He's still on the air, isn't he? Frank Singheiser News, sponsored by the Gordon Baking Company. They even include the commercial on it in this program. And then at 10:15, immediately following the news, this is Sunday morning, they had Bill Bailey's orchestra, live orchestra, sponsored by Refrigeration and Air Conditioning Training Corporation. And at 10:30 a.m., at 15 minutes later, came Kennel Time. Yeah, a program of dog news. Kennel Time, man, sponsored by Chapel Brothers, Inc., whatever they were. And at 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning, Uncle Don reads the comics. Must have been a big show. And at 11:15 a.m., he was on for a long time there. Let's see, he was on a half hour. At 11:15 a.m., reviewing stand under the auspices of Northwestern University, a discussion of current problems. At the broadcast on the Mutual Network from WGN in Chicago. They were followed in 15 minutes by the Syncopators. Live music. Imagine if that sounded a little like this. Would you please give me that? We'll have to set the mood here for this crowd here. Well, now, see, this is the way it would sound if you were living, say, way out in the wilds of Jersey someplace and you had a bad aerial on your Atwater Kent. And the announcer would say, it's time now for the WOR Syncopators. Thank you. That's terrible. Hey, give me the next one. I'll give you a cue on this one. This is a recording taken from that same time of the world, of the day and the time and the life of the WOR. You got that one, that LP that I gave you in there? Got it in there? Get it set up in there. Because at 11:45 a.m., they had a show that was very similar. You got it set? Are you having trouble cueing it? I guess our equipment is much better than it was then. You got it in there? It's the one I mean. Yeah, okay. I hope it's what I said. Let's hear it. Bring it on. Yeah, that's it. Apparently, in radio in that day, one of the great big things, one of the really big popular things, was live organ music. And Sunday morning, one of the most popular shows on the radio came from WOR at 11:45 a.m. And they called it Say It With Music. Played on the mammoth Wurlitzer organ. Live from the studios of WOR. Sponsored by the Wurlitzer Organ Company. Oh, boy. That's it, huh? You know, I never liked organ music, even as a kid. I still don't like it. For some reason, I just don't like organ music. Of course, I don't like accordions either, so maybe they're the same thing. Now, do you want to hear some more of the other shows? Listen to some of the fantastic, strange stuff they had. At 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, they had From Great Britain by Shortwave, Salute of the Nations, Speaker Sir Louis Beale, Commissioner General to the World's Fair, and others, special music. Now, at that time, the New York World's Fair was in full swing, and apparently they were doing a lot of shows from the World's Fair. Here's a show at 2 p.m. called Live and Learn by Alice Dewar Miller, whoever that is. And at 2:15 p.m., the Palmer House Concert Orchestra from the Palmer House Hotel in Chicago. It sounds kind of crazy that hotels would have concert orchestras. Can you imagine a concert orchestra now playing at the Ramada Inn? But apparently they had it like that in those days, and these concert orchestras would play live and do concerts on the network. So here was the Palmer House Concert Orchestra, which was broadcast live from Chicago, and WOR carried it at 2:15 p.m. on Sunday by the Palmer House Hotel Concert Orchestra, no less. 2:30 p.m., immediately following that, a live harpist, Salvatore Mario De Stefano, plays the harp in the studios. It would be inconceivable today to have a show of a live harpist, even on the classical music stations. They simply don't do it. And then, at 3 o'clock that afternoon, the radio really came alive. Play-by-play description, Brooklyn Dodgers versus the Philadelphia Phillies baseball game. Broadcasting live from Shibe Park in Philadelphia. The broadcast sportscaster was Red Barber. It was Red Barber, and they were sponsored by General Mills Incorporated, Procter & Gamble Company, and the Saucony Vacuum Company. Sponsored the ball game in 1939. It was April the 23rd. I wonder who won that game. Has anybody got a record book? You can look it up. The Dodgers played the Phillies. April 23rd, 1939, who won the ball game? That was followed, by the way, after the game. It says, at the conclusion of the game, live, Leo Freudberg's orchestra. Followed immediately at 5:30 p.m. by Benet Venuta's program. That name is vaguely familiar, Benet Venuta. It says, Pauline Alpert pianist, the Charioteers, and Bob Stanley's orchestra. At 6 p.m. after that came the musical Steelmakers. The musical Steelmakers from Wheeling, West Virginia, on the network. I mean, isn't that fascinating? The musical Steelmakers. I mean, what did they do? Did they sing or what? Or did they hit the pieces of iron with sledgehammers? What did they do? The musical Steelmakers. And then at 6:30 p.m., dance orchestra with Ernest Chappell News. That's a mysterious kind of thing. Dance orchestra with the news. How's that for a mixture? Ernest Chappell, it says, sponsored by Howard Clothes, Inc. Howard Clothes. I guess they're still in business, aren't they? And boy, were we elegant. At 7 p.m., live again, the Bach Cantata Series, conducted by Alfred Wallenstein, with Genevieve Rose soprano, Mary Hopple contralto, William Hain tenor, Raoul Nadeau baritone, and the chorus, Crane Calder, choir master, and orchestra. Live, local. That's hard to believe. Wow. And then Frank Singheiser came out with the news again. And what was on at 7:45 p.m. on Sunday? Stan Lomax, sports. He's still around, still on the air. Amen. And then, let's see, what else they had? The original, this is all Sunday, incidentally. Here's 9 p.m. on Sunday. They did really serious stuff, like at 8 p.m., the American Forum of the Air from the Auditorium Studio, Department of Interior Building, Washington, D.C., live. Followed by the People's Rally Fun Quiz. The People's Rally Fun Quiz, 9 p.m., and they had a guy, it sounds like contemporary TV, they had a guy called Fun Master. The Fun Master was Bob Hawke. Did you ever hear of him? And you know who the vote leader was? John B. Kennedy. Now, who was that? It says sponsored by the Menon Company. And at 9:30, The Champions came on. I have no idea what that is. It just says The Champions, sponsored by Studebaker Corporation. And then there was a trio came on called The Three Marshals. It just says vocal trio. And at 10 p.m., the original Goodwill Hour. Now, there is a piece of trivia. The original Goodwill Hour. Do you know what that was? That was John J. Anthony. You know the famous thing where he says, "Madam, would you please step back from the microphone? You say your husband beat you, hit you on the head with a railroad spike. Well, my advice to you is, woman, you hear about that?" John J. Anthony. It's called the original Goodwill Hour, and came from WOR, and was sent out on the Mutual Network, and was sponsored by Ironized Yeast Corporation, according to this thing. And then at 11:15 came My Lucky Break, music and dramatization of A Lucky Break, featuring Joseph Chernofsky's orchestra, with Steve Merrill. And at 11:15, they had all kinds of music. Listen, at 11:15 p.m., these were all live, Will Osborne's orchestra, live from the Park Central Hotel. And at 12:30, they went on for a whole hour. At 12:30 a.m., live, Bob Crosby's orchestra, live from Chicago. And at 1 a.m., Don Revell's orchestra from the Greenwich Village Casino. Never heard of it. The Greenwich Village Casino, live, Don Revell's orchestra. And at 1:30, they went off the air with news. It says news. And that was the Sunday programming. Now, I had a lot of wild stuff. Now, here's what happened, though, during the week. That's when radio really got Monday. Monday, we opened up at 6 a.m. with the Farmer's Digest in the morning. Farm news, market trends, weather reports, and road conditions. And at 6:55 a.m., news with somebody named Joe Beer. And at 7 a.m., the Early Risers program, whatever that is, Early Risers program, sponsored by the Refrigeration and Air Conditioning Institute. And at 7:15, Gambling's Musical Clock, with Vincent Story's orchestra, sponsored by General Mills, Inc. He was on until 8 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock, on came the news, with Mark Hawley, sponsored by the Bathysuite Corporation. What the hell's Bathysuite? Who was Mark Hawley? And then at 8:15, after he finished, on came somebody named Nell Vinnick, Beauty Talk. It says Beauty Talk, Nell Vinnick. And at 8:20 a.m., Restful Rhythms, live orchestra, Kirkman & Sons, Inc. 8:25, Musical Interlude. And at 8:30 a.m., Ed Fitzgerald, Talk. It's just simply talk. Right. 8:15 a.m. And then after 8:45 a.m., here is something that's interesting, because they're doing a musical based on this now. What radio show are they doing a musical based on? They're basing a radio show on a musical. What is it? You don't know? In fact, it's in rehearsal right now. It's going to open. It's supposed to be a great big deal, too. Okay. I won't even tell you what it is. It's a musical based on a radio show, and it was broadcast every morning. At least it was broadcast Monday, April 24th, 1949, at 8:45 a.m. and was sponsored by Procter & Gamble. And it came from WOR Studios, according to this. And it was described as sketch. 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 Like a humorous sketch. Okay. Now, you'll never guess what came after that show. That was only a 15-minute show. And they're making a musical on it. What? That's a bit of trivia. What radio show is a musical being done on now? A big musical, too. And at 9 a.m., immediately following that, you wouldn't believe it, Arthur Godfrey. But wait a minute. You know what he was doing then? It says, Arthur Godfrey, Sacred Songs. Godfrey sang hymns at 9 a.m., sponsored by the Carnation Milk Company. Rock of Ages. And he followed that show. 9:15 a.m., Modern Living, Dr. Edward Parrish, sponsored by the Modern Living Health Institute, Inc. And at 9:30 a.m., Women Make the News. And in keeping with the time, it was done by a man, Vincent Connolly. Yes, indeed, whoever that is. Who's Vincent Connolly? I mean, he's vaguely familiar. And then at 9:45, once again, that same music came on. They did it every day. Organ Echoes. At 9:45 a.m. in the morning. Yes, once again, friends, it's time for Organ Echoes. Brought to you by the R. Wurlitzer Corporation of New York City. The vast mammoth organ in our studio plays Organ Echoes. They didn't even give the organist any credit at all. It was the organ that played it. After all, it was sponsored by an organ company. Thank you. Organ recital every morning at 9:45. And then at 10 a.m., the Pure Food Hour came on. What do you think the Pure Food Hour was? Alpha W. McCann. Talk. Laboratories, Inc. And then at 11 a.m., immediately following Al McCann, on came Shopping with Jean Abbey. Never heard of her, but there she was. It says Talk, sponsored by Kroll Publishing. Oh, and listen to this one. At 11:45 a.m., this is when radio really went into, you know, they went into full gear. They had a show called The Heart of Julia Blake. The Heart of Julia Blake. That better known as a soap opera. it says dramatic performance. The Heart of Julia Blake. Sponsored by, curiously enough, not a soap, the Armstrong Court Company. And for some strange reason, everything was all mixed up. Immediately following this soap opera, on at 11:30 a.m. came Keep Fit the Music, Health Exercises, with live music broadcast on the network from Chicago via WGN. Can you imagine an exercise show today being a national network show? You know, yeah, it's fascinating. And listen to this one. What the heck is this? At 11:45 a.m., Bede Dudley's Theater Club of the Air. Curious. And at 12 noon, Victor H. Lindlar, Talk, Journal of Living, Publications. And then they had news, and they had a couple of other, the Consumers Quiz Club, sponsored by R.H. Macy. This was at 12:45 p.m., Dramatized Health Talk. Dramatized. See, again, I'm saying they were far more involved in health than we had. Dramatized health talk. You know, the guy comes in and says, okay, what's the matter? My hair is turning blue. And they dramatized it. It was sponsored by Carter Products, Inc. What did Carter make? That's right, Carter Little Liver Pills. You're right. And then immediately following that came at 1:15 p.m., one of the great highlights of the day, Mert and Marge. Mert and Marge, a soap opera. Sponsored by Colgate Palmolive Peat, Inc. And then another soap came at 1:30, Hilltop House. That means nothing to me. Hilltop House, sponsored by Colgate Palmolive Peat. And then at 1:45, The Voice of Experience, a talk, sponsored by Lydia Pinkham. Right? I wonder what that was. And then at 2 p.m., Martha Dean, Women's Hour, it was called. And boy, what a crowd of sponsors. Look at a whole list of them. New York Telephone Company, Philadelphia Dairy Products, John Morrell and Company. What is that? Wesson Oil and Snowdrift Sales Corporation, Olney and Carpenter, Inc., Yeeks Eichelbaum, Inc., Friend Brothers, Inc., National Pattern Company, and the Riverbank Canning Company. She was followed immediately at 2:45 by David Harum. The Adventures of David Harum. Sketch. Sponsored by the B.T. Babbitt Company. And then at 3:10 p.m., another big moment, play-by-play description, Brooklyn Dodgers versus the Boston Bees. The Boston Bees. B-E-E-S. The Boston Bees baseball game. We were arguing about that. Jerry and I were arguing. Couldn't remember. We always thought of the Braves and the Boston Red Sox. And this is a National League, obviously. But the bees, the play-by-play description, I wonder whether the Dodgers won that day. They played the Boston Bees in Ebbets Field. It was a local game. Red Barber again, sponsored by General Mills, Sigourney Vacuum, and Procter & Gamble. He was followed immediately by Polly Jenkins and her Plowboys. So if you think C&W is just a whole new thing, apparently in those days it was much bigger than it is now in New York, because where did Polly Jenkins and her Plowboys come from? The Village Barn in Greenwich Village on 8th Street. Did you ever see the Village Barn? That's right off of 6th Avenue. Yeah. That used to be a big C&W place, apparently. And what do you think? Here's a piece of trivia. Oh, wow. At 5:30 p.m., a show came on. A kids, now they started the kids stuff. See, at 5:30, kids are supposed to be home from school so they can hear all this stuff. Here was a dramatic serial based on a comic strip character. What was it at 5:30 p.m.? I'll give you a clue. It was not Orphan Annie. I'll give you another clue. It was not Perry and the Pirates. What was it? A comic strip character. I'll give you another clue. This comic strip character was involved in flying. Who? Nope, Buck Rogers was not involved in flying. Buck Rogers was in the 25th century. He was a space type. We're talking about flying. Airplanes. Huh? Well, what was it? I had no idea. This is new to me. I didn't realize that there was a kid show based on this character. It was sponsored by the Sweets Company of America, Inc. Whatever that is. The Sweets Company. Apparently, you know, they made candy bars or something. But what was the name of the show? Smiling Jack. There it is, at 5:30 p.m. And what curious programming. Listen to this. At 5:30, they had Smiling Jack, and at 5:45, immediately after Smiling Jack, they had a thing called Rhapsody for Classical Quintet. Figure that one out. Instrumental Ensemble with Marion Brent Vocalist. It was carried on Mutual, carried live at WR, and it originated at WHK, wherever that is. WHK. And then at 6 o'clock, one of the most famous programs of the era, what came on at 6 o'clock on this station? He was famous for a fantastic episode, which when he thought the microphone was off. You mean you don't know about that episode? All right, Uncle Don. Uncle Don came on. It says, Uncle Don, children's program. He's the guy that made the famous boo-boo, you know? When the microphone was thrown, and after it was all off, he says, Am I out the air? And you hear some little muttering in the control room. He says, Well, that'll take care of the little... And it's sponsored by... Curious sponsor for a kid show. The Greenwich Savings Bank. Yes, indeed. And again, Frank Singheiser in the news. And here's a curious one. At 6:45 p.m., the Johnson family. What was that? It says sketch, the Johnson family. And it just says carried live on the network, Mutual. And at 7 p.m., on came our old buddy again, Stan Lomax Sports, sponsored by Tidewater Associated Oil Company. And at 7:15, he was followed by... The Answer Man. At 7:15, Stan was followed by The Answer Man. That show was on just a few years ago. Yeah, you remember. And now we bring you The Answer Man. And what is our first question today, Answer Man?
Yes, I have a question here from a lady who writes from Louisville. Is it possible to breed three-legged ants? Yes. The three-legged ant was...
Yeah, you ever hear that? Well, the Answer Man was sponsored by the Provident Loan Society of New York. And immediately after the Answer Man at 7:30 p.m., the biggest kid show of them all came on the air. I will give you a clue. It went bump, bum, 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 bum. That's right. The Lone Ranger came on at 7:30. And what was the Lone Ranger sponsored by? It was described as a sketch. How's that for underplaying? It was described as a sketch. And it was sponsored by the General Baking Company. And where did it come from? They always used to say at the end of the show, and there's a bit of trivia.
He used to say, it came from the studios of what? You don't know. Now, that's terrible. You don't think it came from New York, did you? No, it did not. It did not come from Chicago. I'll give you that clue. And it did not come from California. How's that for interesting? It came from a place which at one time was the center of children's programming in the United States. More children's shows, you know, kid drama shows, came out of that city than any other city. In fact, in all cities combined, you would never believe where it was today. See, this is an illustration, by the way, of what's happened to our communication system in the ensuing years. It has become fragmented to, you know, just New York, Hollywood, and maybe a little Chicago once in a while. But in those days, apparently, stuff came from all over the country. It was broadcast to all the rest of the country. Nobody thought anything wrong in taking the Wheeling Steelmakers broadcast all over the country. You know, from Wheeling. Can you imagine a nightly television show coming from Wheeling? Maybe we'd be better off for it. Really, I believe there'd be more communication. All right, what was the city that all the kids' shows, including the Lone Ranger, came from? I'll give you a clue to some of their other shows. The Green Hornet came from there. Shandu the Magician came from that. All of them came from this same city. And interestingly enough, the actors were all the same actors. It was like a little children's acting company. The guy that played the Lone Ranger played about five different other characters in other things. And they were all written by one or two of the same men. Wrote them all. What city was it? I'll give you a clue even further. It was a Midwestern city. All right, I'll let you know. It was Detroit. They used to say, brought to you from the studios of WXYZ in Detroit. Now you recall them. WXYZ in Detroit. And they used to have a whole industry of putting out kid shows out of Detroit. Or Detroit, if you prefer it that way. And now, what musical are they basing on a radio series? On a radio. In fact, it was a kind of soap opera that came out of WOR. Okay. Oh, man, they had a lot of great stuff on. I wish I could tell you. Did you know that S.J. Perlman had a show on WOR? Called Author. It says, humorous author speaks his mind.